Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to His mercy, it's His karam, His mercy, His fadl, His rahmah. We are grateful to Him that Allah ta'ala has allowed such a person not capable like me. He's given me the tawfiq, the ability, capability that today in this beneficial gathering, and that Allah ta'ala has given me such great moments in my life today to sit amongst such pious people like you. Allah has allowed me to sit amongst good people like you. Allah ta'ala has allowed me to see the respectful scholars, respected scholars who are sat here, who are present in the same way. Alhamdulillah has allowed me to hear good things and allowed me to speak good things. He's given me the tawfiq for this, my brothers. A human being, if he makes a little bit of effort, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, suddenly runs towards that person. If a person thinks a little bit to do something good, then Allah ta'ala suddenly assists that person, helps that person. As soon as he thinks to do something good, if he moves a little bit, a jot, Allah ta'ala gives more mercy to that person, increase mercy to that person, to this extent that however much an individual tries, makes effort to get closer to Allah, to travel towards Allah, to recognize Allah more, Allah ta'ala continues to assist that person. Just like today, I have tried a little bit, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. And you, brothers, mashallah, you've tried, you've all made effort. Obviously, after Isha, people are busy, occupied, we've got things to do, obviously, and Allah Ta'ala has given us the ability, that He's given us determination, that we made intention. Okay, let's sit in the masjid for a bit. Allah made us sit down. And just on this small thought, good thought, that in our lives we have big days that come, big events that come, big gatherings that crop up, and there's da'wah, the invitations, and we are hosted and called and invited. But this small gathering about which we don't have any understanding or awareness, and what is it? We've just sat down, we've come together, but close to Allah, this gathering is so close to Allah, it's so accepted to Allah. Allah likes this so much that you coming here and me coming here, suddenly Allah Ta'ala has given us His rahmah. Now, what's happened here is that little bit of effort that we've made, and our destiny has changed. Our destiny has changed. Our taqdeer has changed. Allah Ta'ala's kitab that Allah Ta'ala has put into our, what He's put into our lives and our destiny, that's changed. And we were maybe stood not at the doors of Jannah, and Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to get to the door of Jannah. Just think a little bit. Why? Those hadith I can read out to you, and the ulama scholars, they tell us this in ta'aleem. But due to our desire and passion, I would like to repeat those hadith again to you, because they are connected to this gathering. And I'm very happy, alhamdulillah, that before dying, Allah Ta'ala has made me successful. Because we don't know about death. When is it going to come? And who's going to go first? We make big plans. And Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmah looks for the individuals. Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that a person's recited his kalima, that a person believes in Allah, and in his heart he has iman, and he goes into Jahannam until the last moment. Allah Ta'ala's rahmah is looking for that a way out for that person, that that person can get to Allah, Allah can forgive him. Because a person should never fear if he's surrounded by sins. A person sins. It could be in his youth, it could be in old age. Always there are sins in our life. And there's a famous hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that as the generation gets further away from me, then the kharafat and the darkness and the sins will increase. And there's no doubt that this is our condition today. But Allah's rahmah, we should never lose hope from Allah's mercy. Have a bit of courage, bit of determination. Allah forgives all of the sins. Look, what's that we have niyyah, isn't it, that we should do dhikr of Allah? And Mulana Sahib, he mashallah invited us and said, come and please host dhikr, and you gave an invitation, and I'm so grateful to Mulana Sahib and the administrators of this masjid who have invited us and who have hosted us. And to Allah Ta'ala, this gathering is great. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu has stated that whenever a gathering whenever people come together for the dhikr of Allah, for the remembrance of Allah, just like we are gathered together, what's our objective? Say it loudly. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. We have no other objective at the moment, do we? And we haven't got any food or anything behind this, so that we don't come off that track of the intention. Just the dhikr of Allah. And this is through the dhikr of Allah we have to fill our stomachs, spiritually, bodily, physically. So Allah Ta'ala said that when there's a gathering like this, that is for the my dhikr, for my remembrance, and the objective is my remembrance, and the objective is Allah's rada. Allah's what? Allah's pleasure. Yes, yeah, so we are gathered, we have formed a gathering for the dhikr of Allah, to remember Allah, but our objective is Allah's rada, Allah's pleasure. Immediately Allah Ta'ala says, I send a reward, that an angel from the heavens, from the skies calls out, oh people, you are gathered together for the dhikr of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala has announced that all of your sins have been forgiven. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Imagine this. Imagine this. All the sins have been forgiven. And further, the angel announces, not only have your sins been forgiven, but all of the sins that you committed, all of them, سَيَّاتِ تَبَدَلُ الْأَحَسَنَاتِ Allah says that I have transformed all of those sins, transferred, you could say, into good deeds. What a good piece of news. Glad tidings. Think about it. The person whose sins are forgiven, he becomes like an angel. Age heavenly, all sins forgiven. Allah says, I've forgiven all the sins. So the human being who committed the sins on the earth, we even forget our sins. Somebody's 50 years old, 60 years, 70 years old. Who knows what sins, from which village I come out, city, I wander around the world, spent my youth, and I committed the sins. Some sins of the eye, sins of the tongue, sins through speech. Allah says that you've forgotten, you don't even know. I've got every record of your life to the minutest particle of detail. I know what you said, what you did, where you went, and your finger will speak, and your body will speak and testify against you. Allah Ta'ala says, straight away, I've forgiven this person, I've changed his sins into good deeds, and those places where he committed sins, that witnessed his sins, that environment in where he sinned, Allah Ta'ala says, I clean all of those places, and they forget, and they cannot testify to his sins after that. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So another hadith, Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he stated, may Allah be pleased with him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, look, in the akhirah, in the hereafter, on the day of Hashr, on the day of resurrection, there will be a nation, a group of people, that they will be seated on the members of Nur, on the thrones of light. The day of Hashr, resurrection, a severe day, a very severe day. They will be sat on thrones of Nur. What those thrones will be, what the Nur will be, this is just speech about the hereafter. And this is an example, words as an example. Those people will be sat on thrones of light, and their faces, they will be glowing, shining, twinkling like the moon on the 14th night, the full moon, and the light will be dripping from their faces. And it's stated there won't be shuhada, they will not be anbiya, they will not be prophets. So all of the sahaba, the companions at that time, said, oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who will those people be? Please tell us so that we can do the actions that gave them that reward. Such a grand pedestal, such a grand platform, such great people, that they will be sat on seats and thrones of light, and their faces will be dripping with light, and people will be looking at them and will be envious of them. That who are these people? And everyone will be saying, what ajeeb qawm is this? What a great nation this. And the sahaba ikram, I said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us who will these people be who've been granted this great platform and status. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that these will be those people who came from different places. For example, you're in Nelson and Bradford or Burnley, and let's go to even smaller villages and streets, different places. Allah's rahmah says these are all different places. It doesn't have to be a different country, different city, different town. Could be different area within a town, different block within a town, different locations within a town, different tribes. Some Chaudhary sahab setting, someone's a Hazrat sahab, somebody's this and that, somebody will be a Sayyid. And at this moment in time, this is the gathering we've got, isn't it? Different people from different backgrounds, say Alhamdulillah. So different tribes, different backgrounds, different families will be gathered together. And here the word changes. So we said in the beginning, Allah's rada, pleasure. In this hadith, that those who come together for the sake of Allah's love, subhanAllah. For which reason? Allah's love, for the sake of Allah's love. They gather together, form a gathering, and for the sake of Allah's love, they gather together and they do the dhikr of Allah, subhanallah. They do the dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. These are those people. They come together for the sake of Allah's love and they remember Allah. So Allah has mentioned two great rewards here. That is the objective of our life to attain. We were born due to this. We were created due to this. Our destination is this. And this is what we need to attain. All of our efforts, salah, fasting, hajj, zakat, tahajjud, tasbih, all dhikr, whatever we do, we have two objectives in front of us in life. Number one, that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. May we attain Allah's pleasure. Isn't this our objective, brothers? We come to pray salah. What's our maqsad? That people call us musalli. And people who pray, no, these are secondary things. After this, we're going to recite dua, prayers, and ask Allah to accept our duas. No, these are secondary objectives. We should put the primary objective in our minds. That I've come here on every footstep. When a person makes an intention, then with that niyyah, the whole concept, the whole scene changes. We don't think. We leave home, we spoke, and we're on the way chit-chat. We just come to pray salah. So many secrets and secret formulas behind ibadat. The person, as he makes intentions, then those things unravel and unfold in front of him. So don't just think we've come to pray salah on its own. No, it's not just salah. We have so many doors open, methods that lead to Allah's nest. That I said the other day when we come to the masjid, what do we say when we come? Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma iftah li abwab rahmatik. We don't say Allah open your door of mercy to us. We say Allah open your doors of mercy for us. It's not just I've said it, end of story. No, the doors open up with reality. Most verily, there's so many doors open, that a person, he cannot leave empty handed. But there should be somebody who wants to ask. We should have niyyah. We should have the intention. We should at least think before we come, that behind all of this is a great objective. But shaitan, he makes us lose hope, lack hope. He makes us give up. That in nothing at all that we do we have belief or certainty. We want, oh, I just prayed salah. Oh, I don't, there's no point doing dua. There's no benefit. Or a person said, do this wazifa, recite the X, Y, Z, and I can't do it. I've tried my best before today. I don't get nothing. Other people say to me, pray salah, pray salah, pray salah, but I'm not succeeding in the world. And I regularly hear people saying this, Allahu Akbar. I regularly hear people saying this. So make one niyyah for salah. That Allah, please, I'm praying salah, just be pleased with me, be happy with me. And if Allah becomes happy, tell me, then what else is left? Nothing. Is anything left after that? Of course not. If Allah is happy, Allah is pleased, then we have no need to ask for anything else. Allah, my Mawla, we just need your rada. What else do we need? This is the maqsad of everybody behind every salah. If we sit down to read Quran, tilawat of Quran, we make a niyyah. Allah, please, I'm doing this to make you happy. I'm not doing this to become a qari or a hafidh or an alim. I won't tell people masle, masail and verdicts and fatwas. This is not the primary objective. First, Allah, you be happy with my Quran. Very few people think this person, he studies Quran, I'm going to give speeches and I'm going to tell people solutions to the problems and fiqh, learn fiqh, etc. and get reward. Yes, servant of Allah, the thawab is there. Even if you don't ask for the thawab will be there. You will get the reward. The reward will be delivered. Allah said this. Allah says, if you recite one letter, I'll give you 10 rewards. So why do you worry about that? What do you mean that? That is not salah, is it? That salah that we get rewards, we get forgiven. That's there automatically. That's in within salah. It's inherent. That if, for example, we're praying salah, then we don't have to say, oh Allah, we don't know if there's rahmah in this. Oh Allah, through my salah, allow my shop to run and let me get rent from the tenants. In 15, 20 minutes, I'm doing a lot of hisab, kitab for my hereafter. Obviously, if we pray salah, we will get the good things of the world in the hereafter. But we are always dependent on Allah's rahmah mercy. Before we do any good deed, what should we do? Our objective, which is from birth our objective. And this is the maqsad that will be asked on the Day of Judgment. And we'll be asked in the grave, Man Rabbuka? Did you please Allah? This is the question. And this is the answer. This is the answer. Did we please Allah? Before every ibadah, we should have this objective to please Allah. Allah, please become happy and pleased with my salah, with my Ramadan, with my fasting. Allah, be happy. Allah, recited Quran, be pleased with me. Allah, if you're pleased, then I'll be successful. We should have this niyyah. We should have this pleading. When we leave home, we should say, Allah, I'm going to pray salah. Please be happy with me. Please be have your pleasure in what I'm doing. And then Allah says, forget it. Allah Ta'ala says, this person is walking to my home, he's seeking my pleasure. Protect him, O angels. Save him. So this is our objective, first and foremost. So Allah Ta'ala, how did He give us this objective? That whoever sat here in dhikr, so first and foremost, Allah Ta'ala has told us that I am happy with you. I am pleased with you. First reward automatic, straight away. Straight away. So Allah gives to that person who is thirsty. If a person is thirsty, he loves the well. He loves the well. Those who are afraid of their grave, who fear the hereafter, who are afraid of Jahannam, for those people is a great piece of happy news. For them, today is Eid, that Allah, Abu Rabb, is happy with us. And I swear by Allah, I testify based on the hadith, that the words of the hadith, and the person who does those actions, he is definitely like that. He should feel happiness that losing hope and not having belief is from shaitan. Oh, you can't succeed. Oh, you've done too many sins. Mawlana Sahib has said this, and you've got these defects, you've done these sins, you've got bad qualities. But forget all of that. This is good news. Allah Ta'ala says that don't look towards your sins. Don't look at your downfalls. Don't look at your defects. There's a new lease of life from today. A new opportunity from today. We need to change our lives from today. Improve our lives. Change our thinking. Change our direction. Don't consider this is a minor. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give a new lease of life every day. 50, 60 years is taking me. Alhamdulillah, we have a masjid here in this town. I've come here before. I did itikaf, but I've never come here before. I don't know you. I didn't even know about this location. And Allah knows, will life allow us to come again? But Allah is Rahim, Kareem, merciful, who forgives everyone. There's nobody's achievement that we are here today. We don't know whose love it is in this gathering today. Who has that pull of love that we are gathered, and that due to that individual, Allah has forgiven everybody. Maybe there's a pious person in its gathering who said to Allah, Allah, I am severely sinful. What will happen about me? I'm upset. Allah, do something for me. So a shortcut spark arose that we haven't even started, and we've sat down, and that person's successful straight away. He's attained his objective. Subhanallah. So brothers, will we improve our lives from today? Is this a true promise? A solid promise? So a new lease of life will start. Will we be steadfast on this? Don't be afraid of promising. Promise, and who fulfills the promise? Allah. So this is a true promise? Inshallah. That's it. One point, that Allah Ta'ala has become happy. Now, the next thing is very fantastic that we need to understand. That Allah Ta'ala said, the next point Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about the gathering for His remembrance, that this gathering has been formed, people have come together for the sake of Allah's love and for the sake of remembering Allah. What a great intention. What a great foundation of this gathering. Allah's love. This is also our destination. Remember, our destination or objectives are Allah's love and to attain Allah's pleasure. Every mu'min, every believer, he desires that Allah, I love you, and Allah, please, you love me. Allah says, you love me and I will love you, of course. Allah has mentioned this. This is the relationship between the mu'min and Allah. Allah says that for you, you should have no love for anything in the world. Just turn towards me, love me, I am your Rabb, and I will then show you how I love you as well. Subhanallah. Now tell me, for this, how much mujahidah, how much striving did our pious predecessors do at the ibadat, their worship, their actions, their journeys, our aqabri. Look at our pious predecessors, our pious elders. Look at their lives, what they did, their actions, so that they could attain Allah's love. They traveled, they worked hard, they made effort, they met pious people in their own lives, just to attain Allah's pleasure and Allah's love. And look, for example, We came here with ease. Allah Ta'ala made us eat our food at our homes. We sat in our cars. We traveled a little bit. We sat in His home. Allah has given us great news. Great news that you are gathered amongst those people. Those people who Allah Ta'ala loves. That's the meaning of this hadith. So can a person imagine, subhanallah, subhanallah, that in this gathering, Allah Ta'ala is saying that whoever's in this gathering, child, man, woman, directly, indirectly, subhanallah, Allah has given us a great mashallah since this technology has come. So for those people, Allah Ta'ala says, Shaykh's voice, it reaches automatically to the corners of the globe, to people's homes. The women, they have not lost out. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of women, they sat at homes and they become walis of Allah. They become pious, they have parda, they have haya, they have modesty. Look at the technology. So we are utilizing this, and for example, you could have a box in front of you, and there could be music, singing, kharafat. You change that, and you put the right things in front of you, and look, your fortunes change for the better. So whatever there is, a person present in this gathering, he has arrived to the destination. Allah says, you've attained my love. We're not saying this, Allah Ta'ala is saying this. Allah is saying this, Allah Ta'ala is saying that that what the action that you've committed, that you're sat down, the reason for this is this, that before I made you do this action, I created an intention, a thought in your heart. If you didn't have that, you'd never come. For example, you want to open a shop. Yeah? You want to open your place of business. Who in the morning wants to get up, go out, there's snow outside, it's cold, you've got a nice warm bed, quilt, and tea's being made at home, and parathas, and your wife's at home, children, and now you've got to go and open your shop. You've got a butcher's shop, you've got to open the shop. In the morning, it's difficult. Hard work, or you do any other occupation you got. Tell me who gets up in the morning with glee and happiness and runs to work. So how do you go? And you go to markets, open air markets. Don't people put their stalls up? It's snowing, you've got your coats and jackets on, you stood in the market. How did that person reach there? What took him there? What was the pull? What was the pull? That's love. It's love. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. That love that was in, is in his heart for fulus, for money. For money, the love of money that has no strength, no power. You leave home, your ease, your comfort, your rest time. You leave your home, you go into the cold with the flu, with illness, and you go with happiness. You're swaying to and fro, even if you get money or not. So what's taken that person? Muhabbat, love for money. Otherwise, you'd never go. You never go. So what was it? The love of what? For love of money, wealth. So here you've come. Today, first and foremost, we don't realize what was the pull, the attraction that has pulled us here, has seated us down here. Many people didn't come to this gathering despite knowing. Many people knew there's a gathering of Allah's dhikr here today, tonight, but they didn't come. Many knew that dhikr was going to take place today, gathering of dhikr, Allah's remembrance, but they didn't come. So how did you arrive here? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. You have come for this reason. First and foremost, in our hearts, Allah Ta'ala instilled love. Muhabbat, created love in hearts. How did I come here? Why should I come? Why did I come? Why have I come? Oh, I'm famous, I don't need to come, etc. That I could also think, oh, it's okay, I do dhikr in another town. I have bigger gatherings, I don't need to come here. Shaitan could have said there's maybe a few hundred where we normally go, and there's only a few people here, and it's far from me. Why do I need to travel, etc.? I could have thought things like this, couldn't I? Negative thoughts. So how did I come amongst you? Oh, I prayed salah, fard salah. This is not fard, this is dhikr, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. I could do this tasbih, sit at home and just chat amongst the people I know, and these words, Hazrat, I pray and keep the beards and do this. Forget that. Let's stay at home, TV. Let's see what's happening on the politics. Let's put a cricket match on. Many paths of shaitan are open. So many paths you have shunned, rejected, left and come into it. You cannot imagine. And Allah Ta'ala says that I have saved you from negativity, negative actions, and brought you here towards a positive. So, is it easy? No. The reason is that Allah Ta'ala instilled love into our hearts. And Allah put love into our hearts that I have come. So if somebody asked me that, for example, you came on the way, which road did you take? And the masjid's come. Masjid's come? I said, is it? The masjid's come? He said, yes. I didn't even know that it was like I was floating through the air when I arrived to the masjid. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So when a person has love, it makes the journey very short, small. My brothers, Allah Ta'ala has told us that my love. So if we have this love ongoing, steadfast, and a deep, beautiful, unique point is coming to my mind that I'd like to share with you. And I'd like to state to you, a unique point I'd like to share and discuss, that this love, if it remains existent, ongoing, then the journey to come after death, a journey after death into the hereafter, big obstacles, will be in the graves for a long time, then on the day of resurrection, then the bridge of Sirat, and people shriek and scream in those phases. If we keep our love existent, ongoing, there's a hadith on this, then you... That journey, you will pass through this whole journey with such ease that you will just end up in paradise without even knowing. Allah's love is not a minor thing, my brothers. Not a minor thing. An ashik, a lover, for example, he did so many actions. You hear things where a person loves somebody else. He does so much for the sake of his love in the world, or her love in the world. That person, he asks Allah for example, a man when he has love for the female, he does so much. And when a person loves Allah, then imagine what a person will get in the hereafter. He will laugh, smile, and walk into paradise. Hashr, bridge of Sirat. I didn't even realize there was a day of resurrection. I've just gone and sat down into paradise. Subhanallah. That's how easy it will be. So tell me, do you understand what I'm saying? Is this honest truth or wrong? So if this love is existent and is maintained, Allah Ta'ala said, you've come and sat down. The reason for this was one. One, that in your hearts I instilled my love, and I love you, Allah Ta'ala says, and then you had the love for me. So what a gathering this is, the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Allah's announced in the Quran. You don't know that when you remember me, I love this action. I love this action so much. It's the greatest action. The greatest worship. Ala ula is the greatest ibadah. Worship action. And those who do this ibadah, those who love this action, and we need to realize there's a stage for the lovers of Allah. A sketch has been drawn in the hadith that love Allah so much, love Allah Ta'ala's dhikr so much, that people call you crazy in love, mad in love with the dhikr of Allah. Should do so much dhikr of Allah, we should remember Allah so much that people say you're mad in love with Allah's dhikr. Allah loves His action so much, the dhikr of Allah hasn't said this about any other worship. The praise Allah so much that people think you're mad. Do hajj so much people think you're mad. Do umrah so much people think you're mad. Never has Allah said this, but for His dhikr, Allah said that do so much dhikr that even if people call you mad, majnoon, then this is your izaz. Say subhanallah. You understand? This is your title, this is what you deserve. This is what you are recognized as such. You're recognized as a person who loves Allah because of His remembrance. You get that title automatically. So Allah has given us a great label, you could say, a label or recognition. So Allah has given guarantee. So now listen one more thing clearly. Listen clearly to one more thing. So two things we realize now. Two things. The razai haq, the pleasure of Allah, and love of Allah. Hubbi ilahi. Hubbi ilahi and razai haq. So these are two things. Love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah. So two things we've said, one thing's left. So these two things are attached to what? From the hadith I'm speaking, I'm not making these things up. So these two things, love of Allah and the pleasure of Allah, they are attached to what? Linked to what? Connected to what? Joined to what? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So if you remember Allah, you get Allah's love and you get Allah's pleasure. So what we realize, the pious predecessors have said what? That we clearly understand from this now, that anyone who does the dhikr of Allah subhanallah, anyone who remembers Allah, anybody who remembers Allah, then this is the sign of Allah's love, this is the sign of Allah's pleasure, and the dhikr of Allah gives both of these things. So if you want to see, the person says, I love Allah so much, so what will we see? That how much dhikr does that person do? The person claims Allah's love. Oh, Allah is happy with me. Allah is happy with me. So what do we need to see? What's the sign? How much dhikr does that person do? And a person, if he doesn't have these two things in his life, then he is lost. He is not doing Allah's remembrance. He'll lose in this world and the hereafter. So for every individual, it's essential. Doesn't matter who we are, where we are. We're working hard. We're doing some work of the deen. We're trying to promote the deen of Allah. But it's lazim, compulsory for every person to remember Allah. For example, I'm doing work of ta'aleem, tabliq. Am I doing this for my shop? For my home? Why do I do tabliq and ta'aleem? Why do I go out on chilla? Why do I go out to the path of Allah? For what reason? Because I want Allah to be happy with me. I want to get Allah's love. Isn't it? So then do dhikr of Allah. Oh, dhikr of Allah, I don't want to do that. I'll give you an example. Example, you do hajj. Why are you doing hajj? Oh, I'm going on hajj to do this and that, etc. So what about dhikr of Allah? So what's the sign? Allah says, whoever wants to please Allah, whoever wants to love Allah, then the sign of that person's love for Allah and pleasure of Allah for that person is that he should be immersed in Allah's dhikr remembrance. If you look at the examples of all the awliya Allah in the past, pious predecessors in their life, the prominent action you would see is what? The dhikr of Allah. Look at our akabirin, Hazrat Thanwi, rahmatullah, Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi, sahab rahmatullah, Hazrat Qasim Nanotwi, sahab rahmatullah alayhi, great personalities. What did they do? Read their kitabs. Hazrat Thanwi, sahab rahmatullah alayhi, stated that jahil is that person, he is unconscious, those people have no awareness that we went to Haji sahab. Hazrat Thanwi sahab said, I went to my sheikh, and these were great scholars of the time. In the world of ilm, they had maqam, status. Haji sahab was not an alim. And Hazrat Thanwi sahab and the other great personalities said, we went to Haji sahab to learn the name of Allah. And then we realized that we are alims. Then we realized what was iman. Yes, that we didn't have that knowledge. And we had physical knowledge, but then we understood spiritually inside what is ilm. Can there be a great alim? Could there be any greater alims and scholars like they were, who did khidmat for the deen? How many kitabs he wrote? And I don't think in these generations that have just gone past that there was anyone equivalent to his rank and status. Was there anyone who did more tabligh than him? Was there anyone who has practiced the deen more than him? So the reason is that they learned Allah Ta'ala's rada and love, the sign of Allah's pleasure, and love is The person who does the dhikr of Allah, if I don't have this in my life, my brothers, then there's something not right, upside down. Either I am following my nafs, my desires, or some obstacle, or I am doing dhikr for another obstacle, or I want people to recognize me and think I'm glorious, and with thousands of illnesses I may be doing the work of the deen in the akhirah. Allah will say, oh, be gone with you. We don't accept your deeds because there was no sincerity in what you were doing. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, for Allah's love and for Allah's pleasure, there's a sign. What's the sign? What's the dalil? What's the proof that you love Allah? Allah will say that, what proof do you have that you love me? And you'll say, Allah, I have one proof that I remembered you continuously. Allah, so my brothers, Nabi al-Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't we want his love? There's another question mark. Don't we want his love? Yes? Without his love, can we succeed? Can we? It cannot be. We know this. Yes, the path is the same. The same path to get the love of Allah. The same source that a person uses to get Allah Ta'ala's love and his pleasure. Subhanallah. So, now I ask the question, that when the question arises and we ask, what is the sign of that person who loves Allah and who's got the pleasure of Allah? So tell us, what is the sign for the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Has given us the sign of for his love, those who claim his love. So isn't there a sign for those who claim the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because nafs, desires and shaitan, they make us fall into deception. For example, I recite in a sheed and there's tears coming from my eyes and people say, oh, he's a lover of Allah and of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When I go to the Kaaba, I cry. People say, he's a lover of Allah and his Rasul. Listen to what I'm saying carefully. I'm telling you a very fine, delicate point. Yes, that a person's eyes will open in the grave, that did you really have love of Allah and his Rasul? Because we need to have the proof for this claim. Yes, so the sign of Allah's love and his pleasure is dhikr of Allah. And may Allah Ta'ala allow the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his love to come into our lives physically. Because without his love, we cannot succeed in this world or thereafter. So what claim do we have proof that the tears in our eyes, I recite nasheeds, when I go to the house of Allah, I feel pain and emotion. Thousands of claims there are, but we need the same sign that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, that if you have this sign in your life, then you can consider that you have the love of Allah and his Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that you have his love and that he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, loves you. That there's mutual love. I'm saying these things for this reason, that we are weak. If we don't have this sign in our lives, we should attain it. Just like I said, that if we don't do dhikr of Allah, then we need to start doing dhikr of Allah from today, so that we can attain Allah's love and Allah's pleasure. Without dhikr of Allah, we cannot attain Allah's love and His pleasure. So if we say that, oh no, I'll attain Allah's love and pleasure from other actions, we can't. We have to do it from dhikr. We have to attain it from dhikr. So the second point is that if we claim that we have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives, then we need to bring that proof of that into our lives. If we don't have that proof, then all the rest of what we claim is shaitan and nafs. So the first sign, the claim, the proof to the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he must have this present in his life. This physical proof. What is that? Which is the sign and the proof, whether we feel emotions or not, whether we cry or not, whether we have that emotion in us or not. But definitely if a person has this quality in his life, then he's a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is that factor? What is that element we need? That for the love of Allah, we need dhikr of Allah. For the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to be obedient to and imitate the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to imitate the sunnah. Bring the practice of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam into our lives. Physical practice. This is the path to Allah Ta'ala's love. This is the path, my friends. Yes, if a person inside his life, in his life, within his life, he doesn't have the sunnah practices in his life, he doesn't love the sunnah, he doesn't physically practice the salah, then that person can do what he wants. He can do whichever worship actions he wants, mujahida. I swear by Allah, that person is not successful. Wallahi, that person is not successful. He can never be successful in his life, in the hereafter. This is all the deception of shaitan, remember. And even if he says and claims, then shaitan puts a person through big deception and delusion. Open delusion. Open delusion. Only that person has love for the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only that person has love in his heart for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether he feels it or not, whether anybody says to him or not, whether he cries or not. But if he is imitating the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he is obeying the sunnah, he loves the sunnah immensely, just like he loves the dhikr of Allah. If he loves the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then if he's practicing the sunnah, he can claim to have the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his heart. He's an ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's a lover of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mufti Shafi Sahib, Mufti Adam of Pakistan, Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he is the father of Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatum, and Mufti Rafi Usmani Madazal Ali, who are famous scholars of today. He is their father, and he was a Wali of Allah, he was a Khalifa Ajal, a great Khalifa of Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib we're speaking about. And I'm linked to Karachi, connected to Karachi, so I know about these great personalities. And there's one event in his life that his sons have mentioned. Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib has mentioned. Maybe you've heard this, and I'll just summarize it and explain it about their life. That he explained this event is to his son, to Mufti Taqi Sahib. He said that I used to go for ziyarah to Madinatul Munawwara. He said that my habit was when I went to the Rawza Mubarak, and this was my habit. And you know, there's the holy fence in front of the holy grave of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where we stand and do salam. Because we can't go beyond that, because there's the fence there. And he said, there's a pillar there. And he said, not next to that pillar, but behind that pillar, I used to stand and say a salatu wasalam. Yes, so there's the pillar in front of the Rawda Mubarak, the holy grave. He said, I wouldn't stand next to the pillar, I'd stand behind the pillar. Because he said, I didn't have the courage, I had so much adab and manners. And he's telling his son, not that he is promoting himself, or he wrote this, or anyone knew this. He said that I had such a feeling that how can I go in front of the directly in front of the grave? I'm not capable. He said, this was disrespect for me. Always I feared this was such a great place. If I commit a mistake, make a mistake, I'll be expelled. I'll commit a sin. He said, I would stand behind the pillar and recite the Salatu Wasalam. Then once in my heart came a feeling, he said, once I was stood there, that I've lost until now. I've lost out until now. That's such a big loss. The people, is possible here, that it's possible to get close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here. The more you can get close, but he said, you can't even go close. You're stood behind. You're behind the pillar. So you've lost out. You're far. He said, I just went into that thinking, contemplation, analysis. I couldn't dare to go forward closer to the grave. Ajib, unique feeling overcame me. He said, suddenly, then the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out. He said, subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that Muhammad Shafi, Mum Shafi, I'm telling you, that's why I'm telling you, my son, otherwise I wouldn't tell you, the hukam was that I was instructed to announce this and share this with you. That's why I'm telling you, because this was the message of the Prophet ﷺ to tell you, so I'm telling you this. So it was the words of the Prophet ﷺ, oh Muhammad Shafi, tell the people, and I'm telling you, tell the people that whoever does not follow my sunnahs, whoever does not practice my sunnahs, first the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever practices my sunnahs is close to me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Whoever practices my sunnahs is close to me. Whoever practices my sunnahs is close to me. He is near to me. Even if he's thousands of miles far away from me. Subhanallah. Thousands of miles far away from me. Allahu Akbar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that those who don't practice my sunnahs, who don't obey my sunnahs, are dear to my sunnahs. Even if he is super glued, attached to my rawda, the fence, and he's kissing the fence of the holy grave, but he is far from me, and he's very far from me. Allahu Akbar. So that's the standard now we realize. And he was a great alim, mufti, muballigh, and he wrote great kitabs, tafsir of the Quran, and he had to tell people that this is mustanad. This is agreed and confirmed. He said, I heard this from my ears, so people should come out of their false thinking, their false concept. This is so azeem, the sunnah. Don't consider that without the sunnah you can succeed. If you want the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's lazim, essential upon us. It is lazim, compulsory for us to love the sunnah of the Prophet and practice it. Not, oh, this is big, small, wajib, compulsory. No. No classification, no differentiation. Where are imamas? We cannot change the sunnah from locations or cities. The sunnah of Rasulullah will continue till Qiyamah. Just like the Quran will continue, the sunnah will continue. These are the two wings that the deen flies on. The deen is a body. There are two wings of the body of this deen. One wing is Kitab Allah, and the other wing is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't say, oh, I've come to this country, I can't do this and this and that. No. This is what we have been taught, that I am the deen, that you haven't practiced the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why don't we think like this? Why don't we read these words, these facts? Why don't we look at the hadith that the Sahaba Ikram, how they loved the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What standard of love did they have? Of ittiba, of obedience. Never did they measure this on a scale. There was one scale, just one thing they asked, that did the Prophet ﷺ like this, love this, and then they embraced it and they practiced it. SubhanAllah. No questioning, doubting, refuting. Oh, why? Cold, hard, not doing it. It's hard there, it's cold, warm. All of this finished. The Prophet ﷺ like this, that becomes the lifestyle of the ashiqeen, the lovers of the Prophet ﷺ. We don't care, will it be difficulty, hard, difficult, tests will come, challenges will come, so much will come. We don't need to be scared. This is the work of the ashiq. We want to attain Jannah. We say we want Jannah, we'll just get Jannah like this, will we? Yeah? The Salah prayed, coming to the hot warm masjid, put the central heating on, nice lush carpet, sat with ease, we pray bi Salah, and we think that we've achieved, we're lovers of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says that this is not a test. We have an agenda that Allah says, imagine here that this has become the test for us, just to pray Salah and ish. We think that this is the proof of our deen. The Sahaba Ikram said, they strive, then for us, we think that this is a test. Oh, it's too hard for me. You know, it's too hard. Oh, I don't need to love this. It's okay what I'm doing, just the worship I'm doing. That's enough. But look at the rewards for this. That if you imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and implement actions that he did in his life, then there is benefit and reward. There's not a small reward. Man ahyaya sunnati in the fasad al ummati. Allahu Akbar. Can there be any generation that was worse than now? And this generation of fasad, if a person practices a sunnah, don't think of big sunnahs. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever revives my sunnah in the age of fitan, that even if you drink a glass of water, it's got to go into your stomach. If you sit down in 3 sips drink of water, the Prophet ﷺ said, you implemented my sunnah, you'll get the reward of 100 shaheed. The reward is there. The reward is there. SubhanAllah. So will we do this, my brothers? Inshallah. I'm not giving a speech. I don't know how to give a speech, bayan. I've come here to make my life, to explain to you, friends, if you want akhirah, hereafter, if you know what a grave is, that we're going to go into the grave. If we know that there's a ditch, the grave of the soil that we're going to go into, either will become the grave of paradise or the grave of fire. Prepare. Allah's brought us here. What else can Allah do? Allah's forgiven us. Allah's love has come. Allah's radha has come. To this extent that we need to do something as well, don't we, after that? Yes, so make niyyah that we will imitate the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will not reject any of his sunnah. Any. You understand? So this is proven from sanad. Not that this was a dream. People think, oh, this is a dream. This is proven from the chain of narration as a Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. There's a hadith. May Allah be pleased with him. Great hadith. Lengthy event. I'll summarize it for you. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was dispatching Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen as the hakim, as the qadi. He was being given the instructions when he was departing. He was not some minor companion, not on a knowledge front. I'm not speaking on a knowledge front of fiqh, jurisprudence, or of relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For this reason, he was not a minor sahabi. I'm saying on a different basis. For this reason, that he was the ashik of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Say subhanallah. That he had given all his efforts. He said, I'm alive. The words of love between the Prophet ﷺ and the Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And we, when we have problems in life, we don't know what to do. Brothers, the exchange of muhabbat, that no one said, SubhanAllah, there's no effect on you. That shall I give you an injection? When I said that he was an ashik of the Prophet ﷺ, nobody said, SubhanAllah. We're speaking about the love of Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahabi who was in love with the Prophet ﷺ. We don't say, SubhanAllah. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, what's he famous for? That he was a beloved companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How? That both were in front of each other. SubhanAllah. Now you understand a little bit of what I'm saying. Because you're saying SubhanAllah. Yeah? Either I'm scared of you or you're scared of me. He was such a companion and both were in front of each other. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companion Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Very few companions had this experience. I don't think anyone had. And they were in front of each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Mu'adh. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh Mu'adh, I love you. I love you. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. Imagine his status, what a great personality he was, what a great rank he had. Imagine his status, may all of my life, many times over, nothing compared to Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Imagine that time, that moment, that the sky he saw in the night, he saw the sky, everyone's proud, everyone's saying amazing, that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed statement, the Habib of Allah, the beloved of Allah, the Imam al-Anbiya, the Imam of the Prophets, the beloved of Allah, the head of the Prophets from the beginning to end, Shafi al-Muslimin. Yes, nobody, the incomparable. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the greatest And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radhiyallahu anhu, that, "Oh Mu'adh, my companion, I love you." He sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest state, is saying this. And as Mu'adh radhiyallahu anhu replied and said, "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I also love you." Imagine the exchange of that statement. The exchange of comments, such a world, such life, and such people were present and who spoke to each other like this. My brothers, so he was being dispatched to Yemen, great companion. And how was he being sent? That the Prophet ﷺ was walking, and Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he was on the camel, and the Prophet ﷺ was holding the rein, and he was sat on the camel, and the Prophet ﷺ is walking alongside him with the rein. Imagine the status of this sahabi. Imagine why? Because a great mission he was being sent on. Now we realize what is respect. We don't have respect. We don't respect, no respect for an alim, a scholar, or a Sufi, or waliyullah. We just walk with our mouths open. We don't know anything. Allah's Nabi says, I'm told that whoever carries my deen, whoever revives my sunnah, they are like those people that your Nabi would walk to dispatch them, to send them away. Imagine his maqam, their maqam, their status. Such a great, honest ashik of the Prophet. So those true alims, the true scholars, they don't lie, commit fraud, they don't die on money. Who have immersed their lives khalis, sincerely, on the deen of Allah, their body, their lives, their tongues, their words, they are all for the sake of Allah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves that kind of person. Do you think that it's a minor thing to do the work of the deen? To spread the deen, those people who spend their lives, and for the sake of their lives, they give their all to revive the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. And big events pass by through their lives, but they don't care. They say, no problem, that at least I'm reviving the sunnah of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't care what happens after that. Fine. Yes. And cowardly are those people who turn away from the path, who do U-turns, turn their faces. This is the test. They get scared. And when they see the reality around them, it's like the balloon, when you pop it and it deflates. But the munafiqeen, when they see the tests and challenges, that's where we see the difference between the sadiqeen and the munafiqeen. The munafiqeen after death will realize that such a big jamaat, if a person gets attachment, the mulino get a test. Imagine the sahabah karam, the noble companions, didn't they have tests in their life? They were the companions of Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam. They were the sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Imam ul Anbiya, the head of the prophets. Imagine what they went through, the challenges, severe tests. Hazrat Bilal, you know, we think when we heard that the Prophet, Hazrat Bilal, you know, his words, when he was on the earth, he called out, adhan, but in the heavens, you could hear him walking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him walking. Imagine his maqam. So we hear this, we learn this, we read this, but why did they get this maqam, the status? Imagine the test after being laid out on burning rocks and stones, and his body was burnt, his skin was burnt. We don't even keep a beard 1 inch long, 1,000 excuses. No, I've got white tears, I can't. Order has come, end of story. That's it. So what is iman? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. From Allah and Allah and His Rasul, when the hukum comes, what's left? What's left after that? Nothing. So we'll realize in the graves if we reject the sunnah. So there's no standard for success. I'm not giving a speech, I'm not giving you tabligh. I'm just telling you the reality, my brothers, the reality. I myself am the dust of your shoes. How can I dare to give tabligh or nasi advice to pious people like you? Forgive me, I can't do anything. But I'm just sharing the discussion of pain about the ummah. This is what's happened today to us as an ummah. Why has our love for the Prophet evaporated? Why do our tears, why are they like crocodile tears? Why is it not reality? So, the Prophet ﷺ was seeing of Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radhiyallahu anhu. He had such a great status anyway. To come to the point, they exchanged a discussion when they were about to depart from each other, an ajeeb, unique scene. Both were there, stood the Holy Prophet ﷺ and his companion Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet ﷺ said, Mu'adh, this is the final moments we are together. We are about to depart from each other. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, after today, maybe you will not see me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And maybe we will see each other in the hereafter. Now tell me, for an ashik, imagine the jolt, he must, sudden shock, he must go. One is to leave Medina, and after that I may not see you after today, and maybe you will come to see me after when I will be in my grave. And such an ashik, who the Prophet ﷺ said himself to him, that I love you, O Mu'adh. And look at the climax, the end here, and listen, point here, that what was the discussion at the climax? At the end of the discussion, after all of that experience, when Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu heard this, then his heart must have suddenly split suddenly from the eyes the tears would have come out. They did come out, and his body would have been shaking, trembling. And the Prophet ﷺ could not see Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal like this. And even then the Prophet's face, it became red and the tears came out. And the Prophet ﷺ immediately turned his face back towards Medina. And this happens, isn't it, that he could not see his face. The Prophet ﷺ turned his face and looked towards Medina. Allahu Akbar. And from there, then when the Prophet ﷺ turned his face to Medina, he gave such encouragement that in the hearts of every Ashik today, that encouragement is there, that motivation. Great motivation was given. What was that motivation? Rasulullah ﷺ said, Mu'adh, shall I not tell you something good? A good piece of news? Allahu Akbar. And in a crying tone, the Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, please, may my parents be assigned to your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please tell me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'll give you some good news, that whoever practices my sunnahs, he will be close to me, even if he's thousands of miles away from me, far from me. Allahu Akbar. And this was the final lesson. Tell me that maqam, when this hadith will have come, these statements will have come, what a great message for the ummah. And those people with their hearts, they know this. Imagine their greatness and the importance that we're stood and drinking water. We're eating the way we want to eat. We're taking shoes off the way we want. And we don't know in our homes. We don't teach our children the sunnah. Nobody knows what is sunnah. Then how will the deen come to our lives? How will sakina come to our lives? Peace and love and comfort. Why will loss not come to our life and difficulties and problems? And why, for example, people who don't like us overwhelm us? This is all due to one thing, because we have left the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not just the sunnah that you do amal on three or four things. No, our whole life should pass on the sunnah. Our ibadat, our environment, society, our buying, selling, tijara, business, our home, family, wife, father-in-law, mother-in-law, mother, father, sister, children, in everything. When we step forward, when we walk, when we do anything, then what do we do? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حُسَنًا. We should have one gauge, one success criteria in front of us. What was the sunnah of the Prophet? Wedding, function, life. No, do this and that. All arguments stand at that time. When we compromise, when we follow our love, we say we're ashiks, we can do this. No, we're ashiks and we're doing this. Ashik, he's a more of an ashik, he's got love. There's no ishq in anything, there's only one sign of ishq, that those who do actions according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only that person is the alim, the hafid, the qari, the sufi. He's everything. There's only one success criteria gauge, as Aisha radiallahu anha told us, that the Quran has told us this, that when we go to the Wali Allah, we'll learn how to get close to Allah, we'll get taqwa, khawf, fear, dhikr. So brothers, how do we know who is good and who is bad? Who is right, who is wrong? What's the measurement gauge? What's the way that we identify? Isn't this today? How do we identify someone who's right or wrong? Today thousands of people out of fear have left this path of tasawwuf. Oh, is he a thief? Is he trying to take someone's money or loot somebody's wealth? So many people have left this path. Without this path of the tasawwuf, you cannot get close to Allah. You cannot. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qulu ma'as sadiqin. Allah said, if you want taqwa, Allah's fear, you want to become a wali, Allah, friend of Allah, qulu ma'as sadiqin, then you must take the hand of the wali of Allah and sit in his company and have a connection with the wali Allah, the awliya Allah. You cannot get that without this. Allah Ta'ala sealed that. But we don't know. We should know. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha was told by the Prophet, there's nothing to argue about. I'll tell you the sign of a good person, so you know who's right and wrong. End of story. Don't need to wait. Don't look at anything else. No other success criteria. Dreams and miracles. And for example, that person, he did dua for me and I've got a son and I've got this. He cannot give anything, the wali of Allah. He cannot ask for anything or give anything. Or who is the person who gives? Allah. Only Allah gives. Nobody else can give. Nobody's, a friend of Allah can do dua. And then it's between that person and Allah. Allah, if he's closer to that person, then Allah accepts the du'as. Allah says, they are faqis, if they raise their hands, then I don't reject their du'a. So they are the friends of Allah. And this is the sign of the wali Allah. This is our aqeedah, that if you ask somebody to du'a for you, and but that's different aqeedah if you think that he will give to you. Oh, please, do du'a for me so I get a son. Oh, his du'a, he will grant me the son. He will grant me business. He will grant me profit. Nobody can give. Who gives? Allah is the one who gives. The friend of Allah can do du'a for you. He can request Allah for you, but he doesn't give to you. You can say, I'm bayah to the shaykh, and Allah's put effect and impact on his dua. So I'll ask him to be my wasila, my intermediary, and do dua for me. I'll ask him to do dua to Allah for me. No doubt, Allah Ta'ala says, I do listen to the du'as of the pious people. So if we ask somebody pious to do dua for us, nothing wrong with that. There are wasila in the life There are, but Allah is the one who gives. So brothers, what we learn is that we've left the line of tasawwuf out of this fear. Tasawwuf has diminished and gone far from our lives. So the sign of the pious people, as Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said, very easy sign. If you want to go and identify and meet and learn the deen from Awliyaullah, how will you attain his company? One success criteria, one sign that when you see that person who is supposedly a Awliyaullah, you will remember Allah, you will not remember anything else. He won't look in your pocket, he won't ask you for money, charity, chanda. If he makes a masjid, he'll make himself. If he makes his house himself, if there's food being served, he'll buy that food and make that food himself. Guests, he'll treat the guests himself. He won't go around asking any money from anyone in the world. He'll ask from Allah. In his record, there'll be no sign of asking from people. He'll never say to anyone, give me wealth. He'll never ask from people for wealth. Never. Yes, he doesn't. And never will he accept the favor from anyone. Rather, it's the favor of Allah that you are spending on the people in the world. And never will he seek praise from anybody. Allah, that Allah has made you a wali, and you are spending on good things, and how can I praise you? No, rather, the wali of Allah says that I should be grateful to you that you've allowed me to be in your company. So if you go to the wali of Allah, you will recognize Allah, morning Allah, evening Allah, alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qu'udan wa Allah Ta'ala says, alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim, that he remembers Allah himself, and he introduces others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar, end of story. So is this hard, my friends? No, it's not hard. There, if, for example, you're looking for a friend of Allah, now you don't know in your destiny if it's written, Wali Allah could be in Pakistan, Hindustan, Bangladesh, but the condition is this, that when you meet the true Wali Allah, how will you meet him? That Allah, you will remember Allah when you see that person in his company, and he will teach you Allah's name, and the rest is up to you if you will mend what he guides you to do. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Third point I'd like to say, then we'll start to do the dhikr of Allah. So now, how and what do? We don't follow the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's obedience, we don't obey him. We don't follow his ways, his actions, his lifestyle. We don't pray salah, we don't do right things. Isn't it? So we have deficits. We have loss in our lives. So Allah Ta'ala says, there's a great and best cure for all of our defects and the things that are lacking in our life. We all have to implement that cure. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah, Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Tuflihun. Allah has kept an open door policy. This is so beneficial, the word tuflihun, that the world and the hereafter, there's nothing good that is not included in this word. Allahu Akbar. The definition of this word, Jannah, paradise, the stages, and all of the phases for good, falah, success for a person, Allah has sealed, encapsulated everything in the word tuflihun. All goodness in this world and the hereafter is contained in this world. If you want, Allah says, good, a good without any limit. Ibadah, worship, home, business, wife, family, ma'ashara, society, everything around us. Wherever anything is stuck, we have a permissible desire. You're in ibadah, worship, you're not praying salah, children are not studying, you're not studying, you're lazy, committing sins, you're doing wrong, dunya, love of dunya in your heart. Whatever topic, whatever issue you have, Allah says, tuflihun will come into all of this. And you're stuck somewhere, your salah is not correct, you lie, or you look towards women, you do zina of the eyes, adultery, women going around without parda, proper covering, and the mahal society is like this. My children, they're doing wrong today, they're smoking drugs, etc. Allah says, the cure for all of this is wadhkurullaha kathira la'allakum tuflihun. Allah is announcing that if you want, despite all of the defects and problems in your life, if you want the cure, wadhkurullaha, Allah says, do my dhikr. Remember me. Remember me. This is the message I've come today with to you, solely and sincerely. Whichever work of the deen you are busy and occupied in, keep on doing that and you'll get promotion. If you're teaching tafsir, then your tafsir will be elevated with dhikr. If you teach Quran, your Quran will be elevated with dhikr. If you're teaching hadith, your hadith will be elevated. If you do work of tabligh, your tabligh will be great. If you're running a business, your business will be great. If you've got problems at home, your house will become jannah. If your children are disobedient, then they'll start to become obedient. Guaranteed, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allahu Akbar. This is the cure. They'll give the goodness. So just do whatever Allah Ta'ala is saying. Will you do this, my brothers? Inshallah, true promise, solid promise. What is Allah saying? Wadhkurullah. Do the dhikr of Allah. Oh, I do dhikr. How do you do dhikr? Look at my tasbih here. I do dhikr in the morning, 100 beats, subhanallah wa bihamdi, 100 times, wa la ilaha illallah wal akbar, and 100,000 times at 15 this, and la ilaha illallah. Everyone does this. Everybody does dhikr of the tasbih. Allah says, this is not dhikr, kathira. There's a condition, Allah's put a condition. Wadhkurullah, Allah hasn't just said wadhkurullah, Allah says, wadhkurullah kathiran. كثيراً. Do dhikr, Allah says, remember me, but in abundance, high quantity, high volume, high number. Listen to this, O people who do dhikr. How should we do this? Dhikran kathira, not empty. Just I got a tasbih with the beads and I'm counting. So the tasbih is to be put away now. So now you need to ask me, tell me, what is the meaning of kathir? How much dhikr shall I do? Volume, quantity. You can ask me, isn't it? Okay, whatever we do, you're saying that this is not dhikr kathir. So then what's the definition of dhikr kathir? How much is the quantity, the number, the method? Because I need tuflihun, I need to have jannah, I need to be saved from hellfire. I need all of the goodness of this world and hereafter. So I will tell you, will you then implement? Inshallah, put your hands up. Because now we'll do a deal. A deal. Everyone who is in need, if you're afraid and scared, then don't put your hands up. Whoever doesn't want this, then don't put your hands up. I don't mind. But whoever wants tuflihun, success, then put your hands up. Okay, put your hands down. Allah's rahmah mercy, you will answer Allah tomorrow. The Allah will say, I took you to my door, gave you the message, oh monkey, ape. Did you want to go into Jahannam? Yes? So here's the door open. Go. Go through. Nobody should leave empty-handed from this gathering, I tell you. Nobody. Allah's karam mercy, and you're leaving empty-handed from the gathering. So what do we need? We don't want dhikr, we want dhikr kathir. What is the meaning of kathir? Dhikr and kathir. One is a sim. You put the sim into the phone. Yes, 200 minutes, 300 minutes, allowance. And one is unlimited, isn't it? Unlimited, what does it mean? Keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing. It will not finish. Keep on calling, keep on calling, keep on calling. Isn't it? Will not stop, does it finish? Oh, I've got unlimited package. I'll do it, I'll call you. Okay, put the phone down, I'll call you. Isn't it? Because unlimited, he's got minutes, isn't it? Oh yeah, don't come for me, you've got a block. I'll call Pakistan, don't worry, I've got unlimited. Allah says, also dhikr Allah saying is unlimited. There's no limit to the dhikr, no boundary. Say subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Yes, then you say, huh, is it? This is a great dhikr. Unlimited, do dhikr all the time. So how do I do this? How will I run my shop? How will I live my life? What will my wife say, my children? How will I eat roti, chapati and bread? Question marks arise. You can ask these questions. Allah says, no, unlimited. I want you to remember you eating, wearing clothes, sleeping, even sleeping. Yes, even with sleeping. Allah says, remember, Allah, how do I do that? No place do I leave without your dhikr. That even if I'm with sleeping or whatever I'm doing, I have to remember you. Yes, you have to. Allah says, unlimited. As Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu anha opened, unraveled the secret of a great husband, the greatest, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, my husband is such that yadhkurullah kulli yani, that every position, every moment in his life, wherever he was, location, he remembered Allah. But so says, 100 times I remember Allah, this many times wherever I am. How do I do this? Wherever he was sitting, standing, walking, wherever he was, he remembered Allah all the time. Whatever our Nabi does, we do the same, isn't it? Allahu Akbar. So whatever situation he was in, he remembered Allah. So will we do this? Will you do this? Unlimited. Home, outside, shop, business, you're teaching your children, whatever you're doing, sleeping, lying down, you'll be a dhakir. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. You'll be a dhakir. You don't need wudu, you don't need no precondition, you don't need a masjid, you don't need tasbih. All you need to be doing is remembering Allah. And if you die in that state, you will depart this world as a dhakir. And the death of a dhakir is that those who did dhikr, the hadith comes in now, the brothers who do tabligh, they'll be satir. Those who do the dhikr of Allah, they will walk into Jannah laughing and smiling. Subhanallah. Does everyone want to go into Jannah like this? True promise. Will you do dhikr of Allah? Kathira? High quality, high quantity. Shall I tell you the tariqah? Will you learn and depart? Okay, that's fine. So brothers, kathir, dhikr, Allah has defined himself. He's prepared himself. When a child is born, then the leg and the stomach and the face, they don't just automatically come in from which we have to eat, or the eyes and the lips and the mouth. First and foremost is what is made is the heart. In the womb of the mother. What is made first? The heart. Why? Because we have to remember Allah. That is the organ that remembers Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. The heart. Yes? So, dhikr and kathira, you can only do with the heart. This is called qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, maraqaba, silent dhikr. And this dhikr is 70 times greater. Subhanallah, it's so easy. It's easier and greater. Allahu Akbar. And about this, Allah Ta'ala says, that remember me in your heart, and I will remember you also. Subhanallah. Imagine how beautiful this dhikr is. The remembering Allah in your heart. So I will teach you the tariqah, the method. In a second, your heart will become alive and it will become a dhikr. So we'll do dhikr. After doing dhikr, learn the method from me. Alhamdulillah, I will teach you the method. They'll do dhikr like this. And nothing else will be hard. So easily you'll go to your beds. I'll tell you the tariqah all night long. Allah, 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 Allah. You'll continue. You'll wake up in the morning. Allah, Allah, Allah. The way, the method I'll explain to you, you do dhikr like that, alhamdulillah, you'll become the greatest dhakir and your life will change for the better. Subhanallah. So every brother, please learn this dhikr before you leave here today. That's why I've come here, to teach you dhikr, to sit and do dhikr with you. You've received the message that there are big losses for not doing dhikr and the benefits are what for doing dhikr. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability, the capability that we do dhikr. After that, inshallah, I will teach you dhikr within seconds. All of you, within seconds, you'll just take a second and your heart will become alive to the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah. This is called making the heart alive in tasawwuf, that the heart starts to say, Allah, 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 Allah. Okay, brothers? Okay, so let's do dhikr now for a few moments. Listen to the method of dhikr. There are two ways of doing dhikr. Just like I said, there's loud dhikr and silent dhikr. Dhikr of the heart is silent, and there's loud dhikr from the tongue. So we'll do both. So I teach the asal, the genuine dhikr that I teach when you close eyes and do the dhikr of the heart silent. Nobody hears, nobody knows. Allah knows and the servant knows. Allahu Akbar. But because this is a big gathering and not everybody knows, so also there's satisfaction doing dhikr loudly, kalamat, verses of the Quran when I recite the verses. Every man has to, in a loud voice, recite, repeat those kalamats. Don't close your eyes and sleep. Not from the heart, you have to recite from your tongues, from your lips. There are many angels at this moment. Remember, there's so many angels around us that the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with those angels. This hadith. And all of those angels are watching you, looking at you, listening to you. Imagine that qawm, you've become such a select, great group of people. And it's written that this man, he didn't do dhikr, he was sleeping, he was stupid, the Quran was being recited and he was yawning and sleeping. Everybody repeats after me loudly, that's what I'm saying, loudly, so you can also learn the kalamats. But some people don't know the kalamats. So when everybody recites, then you'll learn them as well. And this is Quran, and Quran, you get the root for reciting as well. And reciting and reading, and recite with great emotion and passion. The meaning of these is great. Ismail them. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minadh dhalimin. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. All of these kalimats are great, great kalimat verses. And if you look at the tafsir, the commentaries, the Maulana sahibs will tell you the great commentaries of these verses. On every kalimat, how many rules Allah Ta'ala set aside. So when this gathering will recite these great kalimats, then the whole of Burnley will become nur ala nur, light upon light. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nur ala nuru. Yes, that imagine the angels say, what great people have come to this gathering. Shaitan will run away, illnesses will run away, and all of the losses that were coming, they will all run away. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. All of the losses and darkness and evil that was about to come to our homes and our lives and our rooms, when it was coming, there was a lightning. Nathutullah. It doesn't take a second. The lightning could be there, and just a bit further, then the lightning could have struck my car. What would happen then? Nothing. I could not do anything. Allah, this is your law, and you allow these things to happen. So when that lightning struck, I saw the light. I was shocked and surprised that the thunder, it clapped, and the lightning and thunder made all of the environment, the hills around us, enlightened. And I thought, imagine the ghazab, the wrath of Allah in the hereafter. How can we even sustain that? How will we absorb that? I thought, Allah, when we will come to you with sins in the hereafter, when your ghazab will come, the sudden jolt of electricity will come. So imagine your ghadab, your punishment on us, and how you have waited patiently for us. We eat what you give them, we disobey you, we do immodesty actions, we commit sins, and those actions you've told us that are unlawful, we implement those things. Allah, you said that you dislike, we implement them. Those things that Rasulullah some dislike, we implement that. The Prophet some dislike so much, those who trimmed and cut their beards. A group of people came to the Prophet to him during his lifetime. They shaved their beards and he expelled them from his blessed city, and we go to the road of Mubarak like this. So Allah has given us a chance, otherwise within a second that lightning would strike and we'd see that. Can we live? Can we continue the way we are? Allahu Akbar. So we should be ashamed due to our sins. Allah is Rahim, Allah is Kareem, He is merciful, so blessed. And I was seeing this on the way, that Allah, that you've given to us so much, and are we capable that the lightning should not strike us? Death could come. So we should see our condition, what's around us in our lives. that Allah Ta'ala says that your Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dislikes so many actions, those actions that he dislikes, and we don't know that when we implement those actions that he dislikes, and how Allah, you allow us to live in this world, and then you allow us to wake up again in the morning, we stay alive and we think that we prayed Salah and for due to this that we are living. Allahu Akbar. Oh, I did that action, I recited Quran, Talawat, forget that. That you think we are saved due to Talawat of Quran, this is Allah's Rahmah. He's given us chance upon chance, chance upon chance. Allah's ghadab, we should be asking Allah for to be saved from His ghadab, His wrath. So we shall promise to all those who spoil their beards, trim their beards, promise that we will, you will keep the beard minimum one fist length, whether you like it or not, whether your heart feels like it or not. We have no link to this, whether people joke against us, mock us, let them. If wives divorce, let them, due to the beard. This is the test, the challenge. Allah Ta'ala has promised that due to that reason, if you give a sacrifice in your life due to my deen, I will give you better, over and above that, more compensation. Such a big sin, a major sin that the Prophet ﷺ disliked and hated action. We do that sin morning and evening. Do you promise, brothers, to fulfill the sunnah on your faces? I give you the promise of Allah and His Rasul ﷺ, that were we born to be enemies of Allah and His Rasul ﷺ, that we are enemies, we are creating enmity with Rasul ﷺ if we do this action. With Medina, we are creating enmity. With who? Imagine this, imagine this. Can anybody imagine? Can anyone live on the world that he is creating enmity with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can you imagine, I say this openly, that I go and peel my face in the morning, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't like this. We say, oh Allah, I don't like the beard. You might like it, but I'm going to do this. Shave the beard, you can do what you want. Don't we do tawbah? Astaghfirullah. Is this some point? Is this aql? Is this intellect? That we are creating enmity with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The greatest personality, the greatest human being, such a big thing, major sin. Never do this. That make your faces beautiful, elevate, elaborate your faces, decorate them. A person who has less than one fist length of a beard, that is not the beard. Please forgive me. Lengthen your beard. Your beard should be this long. You will. This is not a beard. You will be beaten. Allah is unhappy with that person who trims his beard less than a fist length. That person who ants and he doesn't have the proper beard, Allah gives food to the dogs, the cats and the animals and the monkeys and the apes. They're all eating. We're happy that we get food every day, beer and bread every day. My shop's running, my business running. Allah is happy with me. I swear by Allah, Allah is not happy with that person. A person who's making the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam unhappy, that this is adab. That person, Allah says, he will not even wake up properly from the grave. Allah says, I will grab him so hard that he will not understand where is Allah Ta'ala's the punishment come from. So don't think that this is Allah's happiness, that my shops are running, businesses are flourishing, income's increased, and I'm doing injustice to my wife and I'm sinning and I think that there's happiness. Allah will grab me so hard that I will not be saved due to that. I will not be saved. That I'm creating enmity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where did Abu Jahl go? Those who created enmity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where did they go? That the earth swallowed them up. Look at their adab, their punishment. And the Quran has mentioned the adab, the punishment about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest Prophet. Allah Ta'ala says that do not speak louder than him. Allah says in the Quran that how dare you? And who was being told? Has Abu Bakr Siddiq, has Umar Talha, Zubair, Umar, Abdullah bin Umar, and Mu'adh, all the lovers of Rasulullah said that, how dare you, how dare you, Allah Ta'ala instructed. Do you not know who this is that you are the companions of? Your Prophet, that lower your gazes, lower your voices. If anyone speaks a higher tone than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah promises in the Quran, nobody's voice or volume should be higher than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shall I tell you the punishment? I'll give you such a punishment that I will give you such punishment that your name will be your will be taken away from the list of the people given reward. You will be enlisted from those who will be in Jahannam, and you will not be even be able to ask Allah for forgiveness after them. Your amal will be wiped away, lost, and you won't even get an opportunity or due to this crime that you can ask Allah for forgiveness. Who? Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar. We're being warned, and me, you. How do we dare that we are challenging the Prophet? What is the sin we committed? What is the sin? That don't raise your voices, don't raise your volume, don't raise your voices higher than the Prophet. I'm such a great company when you're in his company, when you're amongst him, that after Allah, he is the greatest. End of story. End of story. And we challenge, we argue, criticize, oh, I can do this if I want, I don't need to follow the sunnah, I don't need to follow him. that we don't even know. Only Allah knew who was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran that we recite, we say Rasulullah was this and that. This is the praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran is an introduction and praise. This is not the reality of Rasulullah. We'll see the reality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of resurrection. The prophets of Allah will not be able to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I tell you the truth. Today's Muslim, he shuns, rejects the Kitab al-Hal, and we challenge, oh, I know more than you, I have more ilm than you, knowledge than you, I will prove to you from this verse and this hadith. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You know the more about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you have recognized who is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you make sects and groups based on this, and you call yourself the Ashik, my brothers. I recognize, as Aisha Sadiqa said, I even myself at the end said, I could not recognize who was Rasulullah. Who are me and you? Allah said, nobody can recognize. How can you recognize? When I called my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam to me, to my court, and we met all the angels, the angel who was the closest could not get to that station. Allah says, it was just me and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it, just me and him. Subhanallah. And we say that we've recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone says, Bashar, he was this, ilmul ghaib. He didn't have this ilm, he had this knowledge, that knowledge. La hawla wa la. That's it. And he's the ashik, and he's not the lover, and he's a kafir, and he's a disbeliever. Discussion, dispute, debates from today. Never go into these arguments. After today, whenever anyone argues like this, say, all we know is that Allah is the greatest, and this is the great favor of Allah, that we are ummatis of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that we have his love in our hearts. Hi. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala could have put the love of some cow in our hearts, or some the snake, or the urine of an animal, or we could be worshipping some idol. But great favor of Allah, that the greatest human being in the universe, awwal wa akhirin, the Sardar, the master of the two worlds, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to whom the whole universe was made. The universe wouldn't be here if he wasn't here, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mountains, oceans, flowers, the sparrows, the birds, the pigeons, all of the beauty of the world, the decoration of the universe was due to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his heart is his love has been put into our hearts, instilled into our hearts by Allah, say subhanallah. So will we now commit excesses against his sunnah? Will we ever think not to practice his sunnah? Can we ever think to disobey him, to make him displeased? Will we shave our beards? Put your hands up and say, we'll not shave our beards. Will we shave our beards now? Put your hands up to promise you won't cut your beards. Put your hands up, become human beings. Raise your hands high. Are you afraid? You still don't understand? How sad. Unfortunate. How unfortunate. That subhanallah, glory be to Allah, that we should never do this. We should never do this. And you should understand that this is not my decision, that I have just read the Quran to you, the hadith to you, and it's not my personal statements or what I desire. Otherwise we could do what we want. But why am I saying all of these words? Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I'm not criticizing anyone, looking down at anyone. Why? Because at this moment in time, you brothers, and I say from the depths of my heart, at this moment in time, you brothers are more beloved to me than all my children and my parents. Subhanallah. I tell you the truth. Because Allah Ta'ala has sent me to you. Nobody is more beloved to me than you all at this moment in time. Nobody in the universe. The amount of du'as and prayers and my heart that is submitted to you at this moment, that somehow we should be saved from the fire of Jahannam. At this moment in time, my parents aren't in my thoughts. That's the only thing. That's why I'm making effort with you. And otherwise, what other link do we have? Don't be upset with what I'm saying, but definitely remember what I have said and think about what I've said. This is a very big message that will save us from the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and capability. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين دعوة ياسين الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد نبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عذاب القبر فقنا عذاب الحشر فقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك اللهم صمتنا للإيمان وأومتنا للإيمان واشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعبنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا في زمرته يا كريم اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم حاسبنا حسابا يسيرا اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم أعنا على غمرات الموت وسكرات الموت يا قاضي الحاجات افتح حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات افتح حاجاتنا يا قاضي الحاجات افتح حاجاتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا حي يا قيوم يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا دافي البلايات ادفع بلاياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمعي اللهم اعفنا في بصري لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رمرهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے سارے رشتہ داروں کو بخش دے یا اللہ ہمارے جاننے والوں کو بخش دے یا اللہ اس بستی میں تمام مومن مومنات کو بخش دے اے میرے مولا پوری امت کو بخش دے اے میرے مولا تمہیں سکون نصیب فرما یا اللہ راحت نصیب فرما ہمارے گھروں میں برکت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمارے گھروں میں برکت نصیب فرما شادابی نصیب فرما سکون نصیب فرما اولادوں کو میرے مولا ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بنا یا اللہ دین پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما اے میرے مولا جو مصیبت زدہ ہیں ان کی مصیبتوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ جو پریشان حال ان کی پریشانی کو دور فرما یا اللہ جو قرضوں میں جکڑے ہیں ان کے قرضوں کو دور فرما یا اللہ جن کی گھروں میں ناچاکی ہے, میرے مولا ان کے دلوں میں محبت پیدا فرما. یا اللہ انصاف پیدا فرما. یا اللہ ناانصافی سے بچا. یا اللہ صبر کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ ہمیں توکل نصیب فرما, حلم نصیب فرما, اللہ کی معرفت نصیب فرما, پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا سچا عشق نصیب فرما. یا اللہ آپ کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ آپ کی محبت نصیب فرما, آپ کی سنتوں سے محبت نصیب فرما. اے میرے مولا تو اپنے فضل سے حرمین کی زیارت نصیب فرما. یا اللہ حرمین کی زیارت نصیب فرما, وہاں کی حاضری نصیب فرما. یا میرے مولا آپ اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما.
وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحابه وأزواجه ذرياته أهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Amen.